Monica's trying to tell me that the McLarens might get disqualified.
What for?
Is there anything on
skid block wear?
Oh. So 49 minutes ago, FIA documents, Car 4 was summoned to alleged breach of the technical regulations.
Oh.
Rearmost skid
is less than, required thickness.
Oh!
Oh! Oh, damn. Oh! G'day, race fans. Well, we're back for another episode of the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
Screw you, McLaren. Screw you.
Hey, I tell you, like, there was a lot of refreshing going on X, trying to get the updates of what was actually happening, what was real. And, well, there you have it. Both McLarens.
It's like, just trying to get an update, eh? It's like nothing was coming through.
It was, but it's confirmed. Both cars are now being disqualified. Mate, it changes the complexity of the championship a little bit. Yes, Lando Norris, he still has one hand on that trophy, but that 30-point lead is now back to 24, but not just for Oscar, also for a rampaging Max Verstappen. So where do we go from here? Because, look, in quick summary, the weekend was a roller coaster. It was exciting practice, exciting qualifying, a damn dull race, and then we get hit with the disqualification, which makes me excited again, although I'm a bit, you know, two-minded of it, being a McLaren fan and, of course, an Oscar fan. And I do like Lando, of course. So where do we go from here?
It changes two things, right? Like you mentioned, Max is now back in the hunt. And you could pretty well say Mercedes has wrapped up second in the Constructors' Championship now. They've pumped that lead up a fair way. We thought they were going to extend the lead, but after this result, question is, what happens to McLaren now? Do they have to now raise the ride height? We've seen what happened to Ferrari in China with the DQ, with the similar sort of issue.
Yep.
And they have not been the same since. So I guess probably lucky McLaren got caught now if they were doing it the whole season. You know what I mean? But is this going to affect their performance for these last two upcoming weekends? And if so, then I tell you what, if Max, I don't think he needs a rocket, but if he needed one, he's got it now.
Matter of a few hours ago, I was just thinking even in the preview, we're saying that fifth world title in a row is pretty much see you later. Completely changes that. The question regarding does this affect McLaren moving forward? I don't know. I just think perhaps they just bit off a bit more than they could chew, trying to find performance.
This is the thing, right? Like, everyone knew coming into the weekend that this was not going to be a strong track.
For McLaren, yeah.
And obviously with the threat of Red Bull and Max Verstappen's new spanking, sparkling V6 turbo engine in the back of his car from Brazil, they knew he was going to be a real threat. The only way McLaren could be competitive was they had to go really, really aggressive on the ride height. I said they wouldn't make the podium. And without that, clearly now, they didn't think they were going to make the podium.
Now, speaking of making the podium.
Oh, here we go.
Turn it up. My podium this week, I'm going for Max because, again, you mentioned the power unit. He'll be rapid. George Russell second and Kimi Antonelli third.
I suppose.
Well,
need a bit of luck every now and then.
You do need a little bit of luck.
You're due a bit of luck.
I am due a lot of luck.
But run with it, man.
I'm running with it. I did predict Verstappen win.
Bask in your glory, young sir.
Verstappen win, Russell second, and Antonelli third.
You pick Sainz as well.
And Sainz is having a good weekend. So, yeah.
So one out of what are we now? 22?
One out of 22 is not bad.
Ain't bad. It's not bad, son. Not bad.
Just so for all those all those viewers, you know, struggling with something, just the key here is you never give up.
Never give up. Yeah.
You just stick with it. But yeah, look, I mean, this is going to be a massive talking point, obviously, over the next few days. Also, another big talking point has been, Andy Cowell, Aston Martin.
Yeah, that's fresh off the press, isn't it? Apparently, poor old Andy Cowell's been given the flick, and guess who's been sending text messages again?
Well, he's a master of
the business kind. The business kind.
The master of it.
The master of it. It's rumoured,
of course,
that Sir Christian Hornbag might be taking his spot. So again, that's just another day in Formula One.
Yeah.
Just 100%. Another day in Formula One.
Well, let's get stuck into it. And as we do.
Start again
with McLaren. A little bit more vigor here because, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about within the race itself. Let's talk about the start. Lando Norris taking the aggressive route, trying to block Max Verstappen there at the start before turn one. Right idea, just the execution was poor. And poor old Piastri making contact there with Liam Lawson, which luckily...
Well, he didn't make the contact. The contact was made on him.
That was it. Luckily, it didn't affect his car or affect his race. But in hindsight, makes no difference now.
Yes, Lando came second, but he still finished. Okay, he had to lift off at the end.
Well, lift and coast, right?
Even if Lando got into the lead, I think, in turn one, look, the movie made, he had to make it because he knew Max. If you give Max half a gap, he's going to go for it, right?
Yeah.
But I think he was too busy watching what Max was doing and not paying attention to where the apex of the corner was, and he just overshot it a little bit. But I don't think he had the pace to keep Max behind anyway. If you look at the lap times, Max was managing.
Building him out of the park, really. And when he needed to put his foot down, he was quick.
Yeah, super he was quick. easily quick. But I think overall, I don't think they were still the quickest car here.
No.
Poor old Oscar, man. I think you can watch his body language, especially after qualifying. He's starting to look quite frustrated now.
Yeah.
Just things not going his way. In qualifying, he got caught out in that final sector with a yellow flag. Charles went off.
Yep. And then he almost got collected by Hadjar, wasn't it?
Yeah, well. Yeah. So, you know, that put him on the back foot. The aero load that they carry, even on a low downforce setup, they were still too draggy to be crazy competitive. And I think, like I said at the beginning, that's why they clearly went so aggressive on ride height.
Well, we always thought the Las Vegas race out of the last three was going to be that weekend where we could see McLaren struggle and possibly from a championship perspective, it could be Red Bull's opportunity to obviously make inroads with Max. Also, maybe Piastri getting the upper hand over the weekend. But as it stands, no points.
Yeah. I mean, Oscar was still off a couple of tenths, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, in qualifying, man, he wasn't too bad. Wouldn't have been quick enough for pole.
Yeah.
But he would have been quick enough for the front row. And, well, I guess now we know why.
But, I mean, regardless, I think when you look at the big moments that count, it's Lando Norris nailing those big moments. And, you know, I mean, up until right now, with what we know, he has been super relaxed, pretty calm, and he looks like and he's driving like a champion. Would this be... I don't know if any time in history, I can't think of any time or recent history that a driver getting disqualified would probably be like, it's not so bad. Piastri must walk away and go, hey.
Well, it could have been worse, right?
It should have been 30 points.
What, 30 points. And then from there, 24. You would say, all things being equal, provided Lando saw the checkered flag for the rest of the season, Oscar was never going to win it.
Yeah.
Now
there's a chance.
I still think, what is it, 24 or 25?
It's still 24. So it's basically still 24. The same as what we had.
Still a full race win. Now, I think this was probably a one-off. We're going to go to Qatar where we know McLaren will be
strong,
super, super competitive, right? That is the circuit that is in their wheelhouse. I still think they're going to need a little bit of luck. Bit of bad luck to happen to Lando for Lando not to take this one out.
Why I think it increases. Well, I agree. Yeah, he still needs a bit of luck. Like Lando still has one hand on that trophy. For me, it's still Lando's to lose from this point.
Yeah.
But we've got 32 maximum points out at Qatar with the sprint weekend, 25 at Abu Dhabi. Yeah. Now, you have got a Max Verstappen that probably truly believes again. We know he's always going to be competitive. He's always going to give us all. You now have Oscar, who's going to be more desperate. You've got three drivers there. And realistically, when you look at Qatar and Abu Dhabi, you can pretty much bet that they're going to be in the mix in qualifying, in the mix into turn one together.
Yeah.
All it takes is just one of them.
Yeah.
One of them to take each other out. It's
Well, I mean, look, you've given the worst bloke to give a sniff to. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to give this guy half a sniff because he's going to make it count.
Well, let's go there. And let's go there.
That's the scary part.
Let's go there. Let's go to Red Bull. 69th, nice. Career win for Max Verstappen. In control of the whole race, as you mentioned before. When he needed to be fast, he was fast. Time managed when he needed to. Easy.
Yep.
The issue still is Yuki Tsunoda. Now, Mekis did come out after qualifying from his Q1 exit and iterated that the team got it wrong with tyre pressures, which probably did happen. But even then, new power unit in the back, changed the setup, started from pit lane, really didn't show enough race pace to sort of suggest that he was on top of the car, which was a shame because in the practice session, so at least FP1, Yuki was pretty close. He was ahead, wasn't he?
After FP1? I think he was. I think he finished ahead.
And I think through the other practice sessions, the delta wasn't as large as it normally was. So I guess there was a lot of hope there on Yuki's side. He was almost lapped by Max Verstappen.
Yeah, I mean, even with the new power unit, like you said, his race pace wasn't good enough. And I mean, starting from pit lane is always going to be a long Saturday night. Where does he go from here? Like, he's got two races left. Even if gets on the podium in the next two weekends, is that enough to save his Red Bull career?
I think it would be in a way, because I think what his advantage is I think his relationship with Mekis.
Yeah.
Marco, no, but with Mekis. But it was very ominous because we did see Arvin Lindblad there in the Racing Bulls get up. So that was probably Marco's way of, let's just antagonize these boys a little bit and make sure, keep them on their toes.
I mean, you look at the constructors there, 30 points, right?
You're not getting double points from the Red Bull boys. You're not going to get Yuki scoring high the last two races.
Even if you are Mekis, at the end of the day, your job as a constructor.
Well, we shouldn't be any sentimental stuff, right? It's performance-based. Yeah,
so that's what I mean. I don't even if he had two good outings in the next two races, I don't think that's enough for him to secure his seat.
But let's go back to Max Verstappen, 24 points down now, tied second with Oscar Piastri.
Well, that's an interesting battle now because based off current form, looks like Oscar's going to lose second. Right.
Yeah, possibly.
But overall on the weekend, man, like once he got out in front in turn one, he was never going to get caught. The race itself was shit, right? Yeah. It became a one-stop, tyre management, boring ass. All the guys at the front started on the mediums and switched to the hards. And that Red Bull in clean air, Max was just cruising.
Yeah.
Just doing what he needed to do. And then when he got a little bit of pressure, he could just switch it on, two or three laps, built that gap out again, man. Yeah. So Red Bull, good. One side, shit the other, which is basically the story of their season. They need to change the constructors to Max Verstappen Racing because he's basically scored most of those 391 points on his own. Like, that's hectic.
Well, what's he got? 366 out of that 391. So that is absolutely insane, like lopsided.
That's insanity, man.
That's just how good the bloke is. But let's go to Mercedes because double podium in the end. Got to give massive raps to Kimi Antonelli. P17, now classified P3 podium. And George Russell does nothing, finished second.
Yeah.
Nah, he had a good race, old George Russell. Good qualifying as well. I mean, I think he's a bit disappointed with qualifying overall. I mean, he had the power steering issue, which reared up its ugly head again during the race. Yeah. But that Mercedes, I mean, it looked rapid. And also look at the way Kimi Antonelli held on to those hearts, how long he ran.
I mean,
good pace.
We thought they were going to be pretty rapid here anyway. I had George for the win. Like you said, he had the power steering issue midway through Q3. But you saw how quick he was in Q1 and Q2, man. He was mega.
Yeah.
Then it came back in the race, and I actually think without that, he probably had something for Max. He was probably the only one that had something for Max. And Kimi, man, geez, hasn't he turned it around? He looks so comfortable now, man. Obviously full of confidence. Look, qualified, he's one of the rookies. First time ever on that extreme wet tire, man.
Well, this is
on a circuit like Las Vegas.
The blue tire.
Dancing on ice, man.
The blue tire finally got some running.
Yeah, well, it was the only tire that the teams could work hard enough to heat up. Like, that's how cold the track temp was, man. Yeah. So that just goes to show how strong that car was and the fact that it could hold on to those hard tires as long as it did, right? Because he came in on the virtual safety car, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he was the only one that started up on the softs, went straight to the hards. Yeah. So what that virtual safety car was what, lap two? Lap three?
Yeah, lap two or three.
Yeah.
It was like super early, so he did like over 45 laps or something
on
it.
The hards.
Like, I mean, that was mega, man. And we saw, I think, the pace advantage that they had even over McLaren. Because Oscar, he had one crack, and to Kimi's credit, man, he didn't let him pass. Yeah. He didn't want to let him pass. And then after that, Oscar had no response.
Actually, I think we didn't even mention the 5-second penalty, have we, for the false start? For Kimi.
Yeah, and
he
got the 5-second penalty, right? So, I mean, in the end, what, he would have finished fifth?
Yeah, so he was
fifth from 17th, man, even still.
Yeah.
Like, that's mega. Like, mega drive. That's driver of the day stuff, that.
Yeah. They seem to be in a good place, Mercedes.
Yeah, yeah.
A little purple
patch.
I mean,
man, they're smashing Ferrari.
Yeah.
This weekend, they'll definitely, I think, as quick, possibly enough to beat Red Bull. Yeah, so they were mega this weekend, man.
Well, let's go to Ferrari. They've fallen further behind.
Jesus.
Well, 378 in the constructors.
Before we do that, and you could say Mercedes have pretty much wrapped up that P2,
well, yeah,
right?
That's exactly it. So, I mean, Ferrari, they've fallen a long way back now in that constructors championship. You know, if they were fighting for P2 at some point and...
Well, what are they now? 53 points behind Mercedes. So you could say they're probably really only in for a shot of third.
P3, yeah. Against,
P3,
against
right?
Max Verstappen Racing.
And the way Max Verstappen Racing is going at the moment, he could literally beat them on his own.
100%. Well, it was an upgrade for Leclerc up to P4. It was a P9 start. Lewis Hamilton, probably one of his worst qualifying efforts.
Yeah, I mean, he was unlucky, man.
Yeah.
Like, he had last three attempts, basically got a yellow flag on every lap.
Yeah.
And then he had the confusion of... He crossed the line to possibly get one more lap in, and his engineer was just like, keep pushing. So then he crossed the line, and he actually crossed the line with half a second to go, right? And he was like, am I safe? And it was just like, no, keep pushing. He's like, it's not like, hey, keep pushing because you're not safe. It's just keep pushing.
He just does not have that Bono-type engineer relationship yet, does he, with the engineer Ferrari?
And I mean – look, man, in the race, he got stuck behind Ocon, right? He got that mega start, got up to 13th, but then he just sat behind Ocon for like 25 laps, and that really killed his race because I think if he managed to get past Ocon, he definitely had a car quick enough at the time to finish 7th or 8th. On Charles' side, I don't know, he came out after qualifying saying they were carrying a little bit of extra downforce. Maybe they decided to go that way because of the wet conditions, because we heard...
Qualifying, yeah.
Charles's effing embarrassing rant after qualifying. Why does this always happen? You know, like, so that.
Be quiet, clearly, Charles. John will be on the blower telling you to be quiet and your performances will improve, son.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Alcon needs to take a hard look in the mirror, man, because I think their problems, I think, started at the start of the year when they decided to go for that front pull rod suspension, and it really didn't work. It really affected the balance. And then they had all the troubles with the rear of the car.
Well, they're chasing. Because
they couldn't get
chasing performance.
They couldn't get the front to work. So then they scrambled to try and fix the back of the car. They lost. They don't know. Like, that, it's so hard to get that thing in the window now. the car's just, and even when they do, the car's not quick enough to even fight for a win.
Yeah.
On any circuit. As far as Elkin's concerned, man, I think he just needs to shut up and drink his milk, because I don't think it's the drivers, and it's not for a lack of trying. Your team hasn't delivered a car that is good enough to win a race.
Haven't delivered a car to win a championship for a while too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like I said in the last video, people who live in glass houses.
Life of being a Ferrari fan, huh? Life of being a Ferrari fan. It's a tough one.
Well, I've got a friend, man, who's, you know, bleeds red. He's Italian. He's hectic. And I still message him now going, man, I understand. I understand. I get it.
Tough gig. It hurts. Tough gig. Oh, I'd love to hear from any Ferrari fans in the comments that were Ferrari fans and they've just given up and they've just moved on to another team. But hey, you stay loyal through the good and bad times, even if
never give up.
Hey,
next year will be our year.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Look to the future. All right,
a win's a win.
Let's go, Williams. Mixed bag. Albon. Another weekend to forget. Couldn't get qualifying done. Carlos did a great job banging it into P3 on the grid in qualifying.
But he was lucky to get that. He was lucky to get that, man. Did you see the onboard, the footage of him with the when he was under investigation for rejoining the track in front of Stroll? Stroll definitely had to take avoiding action. So in my opinion, yes, he got P3 and yes, it was good, but he didn't deserve to stay there.
Oh, I did see the FIA document that came out, but I didn't actually see the actual incident itself. So there you go. Become a steward, Nick, and then cause havoc.
He's killing it at the moment. He looks super comfortable. They had a wicked livery this weekend. One of the best looking liveries on the grid. Unfortunately for him, he got undercut by Piastri.
Yep.
So,
but realistically, look, I think the race pace.
He got his karma back. So
yeah, I think the race pace of the Williams was always, it would have always been a struggle to try and maintain that.
Oh yeah, he definitely wasn't quick enough to stay in third place.
Not at all.
What did he finish before?
So the P7 and then got the promotion to P5, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that I reckon that was about their pace, man. Yeah. Poor old Albon, man. What's that? Six races in a row with no points. Started in qualifying, clocked the wall in turn 16, trying to get to the finish line so he could get that one last lap in. So again, qualifying, still not working out for Albon. But how the fortunes changed, man. Like,
well, it's a commentator's curse. Commentator's curse, because
we're good at that. We're definitely good at that. Back us on that. I'll never forget,
we were so impressed with Albon. We released a little short about, he's feisty on the radio. You know, he's not intimidated. We're worried about him with Sainz coming in because of, like, previous history of what happened at Red Bull. Just kills it, right? And then since that point, it's been, like, flip the switch. And the thing is, I am a little worried about him because what he said on the radio regarding qualifying, where it was almost like he tried to put the blame onto the engineer for talking to him for too much. Yeah. That it's sort of like the reason why he made the mistake. And it's like, oh, mate.
Well, Vowles did come out and say there was communication issues, which probably could have been avoided, which would have helped him not have to rush to make that last lap.
Yeah. That was probably it then. Yeah.
There was.
But speaking of communication issues, I mean, he had communication issues in the damn race with no radio.
Yeah, we had no radio, right? Was he pointing at the front wing as he was coming into the like, oi, oi, oi.
I mean, look, it was just a horrible weekend for him. I mean, look, fortunes are going to change. Albon's a class driver. He's fast.
Yeah.
But it's always been a worry for me that the mental state that when he gets into a hole, it's like he's not the type of guy that gets the ladder very quickly and hops out of it, get the pickaxe and shovel and get a little bit deeper, you know? So,
well, that's the thing. He's in a bit of a hole at the moment and he kind of does need to turn it around. And qualifying has been his real issue, right? Mm. For whatever reason, he can't seem to, whatever the process is about on his outlap and trying to switch the tyres on, he can't seem to get it right. And then he seems to struggle. This weekend, the car was quick. Like, it was good. It was competitive for sure.
Yeah.
But he ended up making contact anyway in the turn one, didn't he?
Yeah, he ran up the backside of Mr. Franco Colapinto.
That's right. And he got the 5-second penalty as well.
Yeah.
Then no radio. So then they just call it, call it as well.
Call it, move on, move on. And speaking of moving on, Red Bull, I just see RB, Red Bull. Racing Bulls, like Williams again, very consistent where one driver gets the points and the other doesn't. Look, it was a great start to the weekend for Liam and Isaac. Liam was flawless in qualifying. Isaac great as well. So what was it, a P6 and I think a P8 start. But then yep. come race day, Liam, a little too aggressive. Now, when I first saw the incident where he locked up and he has gone into Piastri, I was like, two of the drivers I probably support the most. You make contact. You're going to start a war again between Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, no, because it was what an opportunity. Starting P6, you may have blown it. Yep. And then obviously he gets the front wing damage a little bit down the lap, and that was basically his race. Interesting, didn't get a penalty for it because the stewards ruled it that there was mitigation because George Russell in front of him had locked up. So Liam had to take evasive action, which caused it. Luckily for Piastri, didn't ruin his race, but poor old Liam, he ruined his.
At the moment, qualifying trim seems to be their strength, whereas earlier on the season, I think they were a lot stronger in the race pace.
Yeah.
On Hadjar's side, qualifies well, but right when it comes to the race, he starts to fall back, and he jammed it up. He got a mega start.
Yeah,
right?
Up
he got
three.
Up to fifth.
I mean, Lawson opened the door for him and he just took that space.
Yeah. So he got up to fifth, but they just didn't have the pace to stay there.
Yeah. I mean, did he finish? P8? So P6 classification now. Yeah.
Again, similar to Williams, I think sixth, seventh, eighth was about where their pace was.
Yeah.
Lawson was unlucky. I mean, he was even a bit unlucky in qualifying. He missed out by a fraction. He thought he could get another lap in and he thought he could go quicker. So he missed out there. But, yeah, just bad luck, man, on Lawson's side. It's a shame because, like I said, I wanted to see him get two weekends back-to-back and possibly could have done that because, yeah, that car was definitely – I mean, he definitely would have scored points again this weekend. The car was good enough.
But, yeah, you're definitely right regarding the pace, the qualifying and the race pace. It's probably the car on the grid that is, you could say – the discrepancy between both is probably the largest gap.
Yeah.
Because we have seen Isaac qualify really well the last few races and sort of go back as well. So, but I mean, it's been a good season overall, realistically, for Racing Bulls. A little bit inconsistent. And you just think if they were a little bit more consistent through some more of these races, they would have definitely been in the mix with that P5 and Williams, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, the start of their season, man, was hampered, let's say, because you had
a rookie. And
had a rookie, then Yuki. Two races later, Yuki gets promoted, Lawson comes in. So that first, could even say 10 races.
Yeah, first quarter, at least quarter of the season.
Yeah, like when you're trying to find your feet at the start of the season. So they were kind of hampered, but you can see how good they've been.
Yeah.
Like they haven't been terrible. That car has been competitive. It's just, especially on Lawson's side, but I won't go into it because we've already spoken about it. His season as well has not been just a straightforward season.
Yeah.
But it is the race pace at the moment which is letting them down.
Well, speaking of who didn't let anybody down, and that is the Hulk. He's done it again, mate. He is he's really backing things up pretty well. And, well, Bortoleto went full missile mode. Mate, he took the inside and he wanted to be aggressive. Just a little.
Gabby bought a missile.
Yeah, it was. And it's a shame because Brazil last time out was a really bad weekend for him. This was the weekend where he just needed to be clean and sort of get the season back on the right track because there's been a few back-to-back weekends now where he's probably been a little bit under his standard. But let's talk about Hulk. I mean, he qualified P11 and he's finished P7 now with a promotion from P9. So good points for Hulk and Stake. But Bortoleto, interesting because, hey, look, I'm not suggesting anything here, but who pinched him in Brazil, lap one?
Stroll.
Who did he miss all into?
Yeah, bit of payback, you reckon?
Nah.
But look, at the end of the day, man, he didn't even look like he was going to hit the brakes, man. It was just...
He was committed. He was fully committed.
Yeah, I mean, that was silly.
Yeah.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt with the DRS in Brazil. This time, bro, this one's on you. You're going to have to cop that 5-place grid penalty in Qatar, square in the chin, man, because that one was thoroughly deserved.
Yeah, I think the cat agreed with you too, if you heard the cat in the background.
No, didn't hear the cat. I don't know what it is. Hulk has found the sweet spot of that car, and he's definitely looking a lot more comfortable. Gabby has been struggling. Look, I think he got a 10th, if I remember correctly, in Mexico. I think he scored 10th in Mexico. But apart from that, basically since you could say the summer break, he's gone backwards. Yeah, that's right. You agree with me.
If you meow right now, it means Max Verstappen is winning the championship.
There you go.
Oh, sure. Cat has to make an exit. Cat, stage.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Does a Gabby just missile
in and missile out?
Yeah. But look, going back to what we're talking about, that car's quick, man. The car's still good. The car's definitely still good. And we're seeing that with Hulk, man. He's super comfortable at the moment and he's the one carrying the teams. Also, too, another rookie, Gabby, right? The extreme wet tire. Never used it before. And when you're lacking confidence on a circuit you've never been to, in wet conditions, no visibility, you know, you'd be peaking hard, man.
Peaking. I'll give it a crack.
Oh, not to say I wouldn't have a go, but
trundle around, pit limiter on.
Yeah. Pit limiter on and still brake traction.
All right, Aston Martin. Now,
Haas, isn't it?
Oh, Haas.
Speaking of brake and traction.
Haas. Well, they've gone from P11, P12 to a disappointing no points to double points.
Yeah.
There you go. And the good thing was on Ocon's side because Ollie has had the upper hand over the last few race weekends. And, well, yep. There you go. Ocon, he's out-qualified, out-raced, P13 in quali, Ollie P14, and then now they've finished 9 and 10, isn't it? To Ocon, in Ocon's favour, yep. 9 and 10.
Ocon's favour. But look, let's
home
be
race,
honest, man.
Home race.
That car,
I've done something.
It's quality
to it.
At the moment, yeah. Man. Like it's still the best of the rest. That car was mega, man.
Yeah.
But qualifying.
It's a qualifying championship.
Well, yeah. Look, you know, did you see Ocon, Ollie in Q1, man, when he locked up and just became a sailboat? He knew before he hit the wall. He's like, yep.
Passenger.
And then Ocon, apparently he had to back off on his second last run. And apparently he said he lost so much tire temperature that when he went into turn one, that was it. He just went straight ahead. So qualifying hurt their race. Lucky to get double points without McLaren being disqualified. They should have been good enough for double points.
Yeah.
Because that car was quicker than V-Carb. 100% quicker than V-Carb and probably quicker than Williams.
What about?
Still the best of the rest.
What about Aston Martin?
Easy.
Quick. Hey, mate, like I was getting pretty excited there for Lancelot Stroll, qualifying sessions in the wet, and he was topping. In the end, he was knocked out of Q2. But
yeah, well, he took the gamble on that intermediate, right? Yeah. I think he was meant to go out and do 3 push laps, and he only managed 2. The track wasn't there. A
little early.
Yeah, and I mean, you couldn't, even still with a little bit of a drying line, you couldn't heat those intermediates up quick enough to be competitive. So he took a gamble, which was cool, but unfortunately didn't work. But they were a team, man. I think we've seen that even in low downforce trim, they carry a bit more aero load, and we saw them reap the rewards of that in the wet and mixed conditions. Those first 2 qualifying sessions.
Alonso, good P7.
Were mega.
Yeah.
Like they were, I was like, whew. They were looking good, man. They were really strong. Even Alonso in P7, man, there was no way he was going to stay there. No way. That car, as soon as dry race conditions, there was no way he was going to stay there.
Just outside the points in the end for Alonso, P11, after the reclassification. Stroll, well, we know what happened to him. He was made mincemeat at turn one. So
2 races in a row, he's being clouted now.
Who did he get clouted by in...
Well, was it Yuki?
Yeah, Yuki got
Yuki
him in.
Yuki spun him around in Brazil after he squeezed Gabby.
Yeah.
Bit of bad luck for him at the moment. They're going to be a team, I guess they're going to get spoken about a lot this week. Now,
well, regarding the Andy Cowell business, almost forgot. So,
yeah.
See you later, Andy. And
I wonder why. Because, okay, yes, the car hasn't been great, but then you've got Adrian Newey there for 26. Wouldn't you give him a shot?
Horner.
What do you reckon he's thrown some money?
Christian Horner?
I wonder if – wasn't Stroll – has Stroll sold his stake because he wanted to sell
– Oh, mate, the whole financial side of the whole Aston Martin thing and what how Stroll's involved in it, because you've got the – isn't there like obviously the Formula One side and then there's the actual Aston Martin side? Look, it's
– Well, I think he wanted to sell his stake in the Formula One side. Now we know Horner wants to have a bit of skin in the game. I don't – look, I haven't really kept up to date with it. I probably should.
The problem is with all this business, it's always like there's stakes, right? It's like, you know, Stroll may have a X percentage stake, but he might only want to sell a small portion of that stake. I don't know. I'm not too sure.
I don't understand why you wouldn't just give Andy Carroll till next year. Let him see how he goes with the car that they think is going to be competitive. Because let's face it, since they've taken over – Is it Racing Point? Man, is that I can't even remember. Racing Point, right? They took over.
Yep.
They've built. It's been building. And even Lawrence came out and said this is a 10-year project.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of money invested in it. I mean, if you look at their facilities.
We haven't seen the end of the 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, they're gonna be spoken about heaps this week. It's probably gonna be one of the most apart from
the DQ, yeah.
McLaren's the DQ, that's probably going to be the next biggest story.
Yeah, the Horner rumors, that's what it'll be. But speaking of stakes, we didn't go into it with Mercedes. What about old Toto Wolff?
Like he needed any more. Toto.
Wait, please, sir, I want some more. I'm going to just put out my little tin. Come and sponsor the show, Toto.
I'd quite happily be called the Ground Effect Toto Podcast. To throw some skin in the game, bro.
What did he turn a few million into? A
couple of billion or something, billion or whatever it was. Man, it was ridiculous. But hey, look.
Good job.
What he's done since taking over that team, man, he's turned that thing into a machine.
Amazing.
Like just a world-class businessman, right?
Yep.
One of the best in the world, I guess you could say.
Just if I could, just need to learn off him how he does it.
Yeah. I mean, can you just give us a loan to buy a go-kart team or something?
Can't we monetize this podcast and get like 10 bucks a week?
Yeah, like, don't want to be greedy, man. Just help us monetize the podcast. Like I said, the Ground Effect and Toto Podcast.
Oh, mate. We're just going to have to beg, but.
I'm quite happy to send the first email.
Ignore. Straight to the junk box.
Yeah, it wouldn't even make the inbox.
Mate, I don't even think we'll make Alpine's inbox either because, look. 5,000 euro fine for qualifying. What do they do? Use a set of tyres on Franco's car. That should have been returned.
That was supposed to go, Franco used a set of tyres from FP3 that was supposed to be returned to the FIA, hence 5,000 euro fine. Now, did that help Franco get into Q2? To be honest, man, after you saw his massive snap he had, without that, he possibly could have got into Q3. Because he was up on his fastest lap at that time. So the weatherman brought them back into the field. We've seen it.
Saw Gasly, made Q3.
Gasly killed it again, man.
Would have been
interesting.
You're about to say, would have been interesting to see if Gasly didn't get turned? Yeah.
Yeah. Like what his pace was. I don't know whether he would have had enough for points.
Well, but with the double DQ, I would have thought, he was probably in the mix.
Yeah, I don't think he would have had the pace.
Well, Franco certainly didn't in the race.
Well, he only good thing about Franco, man, he was quiet, didn't get in any trouble, just stayed out there and saw the checkered flag. He ended up last of all the runners, didn't he? So
yeah, I mean, he may have taken a little bit of damage. He did get thumped pretty hard by Albon too. So maybe there was a bit of aero damage at the rear of his car, which we don't know.
Gasly was never going to recover after being taken out there.
Well, there you have it. Boring race, but exciting, you could say, post-race scrutineering and the legalities and the rules and what goes on. And naturally, that's going to be heavily debated. It was a bit of a slam dunk. I mean, the same thing happened.
I mean, you can't debate it, can you?
I mean, Ferrari had the same issue earlier in the year.
Yeah.
If you go by the drivers leaving the circuit early.
Well, they were
the footage
gone.
Of Lando they and Oscar scooted. Just sort of getting the hell out of there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That was pretty telling. I think they've bitten too much. They knew they needed to do something extreme here to be competitive in Las Vegas based on what we saw last year. I don't think it's going to be a hindrance to the rest of the season.
Well, not only that too, there was the articles going around during the week that
just
apparently
a few
the
days,
FIA
right?
had seen some teams were using a technique to heat the skid blocks, which then...
Some sort of expansion?
Yeah, like if I remember correctly, like the way they heated the skid blocks expanded the skid blocks, which actually made them lower, so then they could run the ride heights even lower again without affecting the skid block wear. Now, they said...
Sneaky.
This is a bit of a fallacy, like this couldn't work. But if it's true, because, of course, they never mention any teams.
Yeah.
It's all hearsay. If it's true, well, then maybe we've seen one of the teams.
Well, let's see. I mean, it's the best thing about this is a short turnaround. Short turnaround to Qatar.
The only problem is we're not going to have any other news except Horner and...
skid blocks.
And skid blocks.
Well, anyway,
so
all I can say is that this championship, it just gets a little juicier now.
Yeah.
A little juicier and, anything can happen. And we've seen that. We've gone from this is Lando's championship, it's finished, to oh, my God.
Yeah, well, put it this way. On our first attempt at recording, I basically said, thanks for coming. That's the 2025 championship.
You did.
Well and truly over.
Abu Dhabi. Yep, the championship's still on the line, and we will be in Abu Dhabi. But speaking of that final race, we were hoping to get to 500 subscribers by that point of time. We got 2 weeks to go to try and find 120 people.
Yeah, come on. Show the rookie some love.
Show some love. Show some love. So if you do like the content.
In our first season.
Yeah, if you do like the content, big thumbs up and a sub would definitely be appreciated. I think it's a bridge too far, like we were saying about Max Verstappen's world championship aspirations.
Championship done and dusted,
well,
you reckon?
Well, we did last time out, but after today. I think he just built a bridge and he's...
Well, look, anything can happen. Never give up, right?
Yep.
And like you said, with you guys, your guys' support, it does help us because it helps us create better content for you guys, which is what we want to do because we are on here talking about a sport that we truly do love and we are passionate about. And we like sharing that with you guys. So, yeah.
Well, look at that.
We do appreciate it.
Never, ever seen you pour your heart out like that. After all these years.
It hurt too. Trying to be ruthless like Max Verstappen ended up being Lando Norris and showing my emotions.
Well, there you go. It's a sign of strength, all right? Sign of strength, as they say.
6-7.
Well, I mean, look, normally I give you the last word, so throw it out there. Something serious, something meaty, juicy. What do we got?
What do we say? Like, that's one for the books for McLaren.
Apparently the cat likes it.
Yeah. that's... doing?
She wants the final word. Excuse me. Oh, hey. You just settle.
I've been Andy Cow.
Oh, mate. Gonna have to get her offset. Offset, please. Teddy, stop. All right. You're back. Final thought.
Take two. Yeah, man. That's a one for the books for McLaren for sure. Is this going to affect the way they perform for the rest of the season? That's going to be interesting to see. You've now given the Dutch line a sniff, which is not really what you wanted to do. Oscar Piastri's now under threat of losing P2 in the championship. Mate, it's on now. I was getting ready to end my day with the championship being done, and it is definitely not over yet. So this is going to be good.
Can't wait. Just glad it's a short turnaround. See you for the Qatar preview.
Gotcha.